Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, brains. There's only one requirement to hang out on the edge, is that you open your big brain and close your small mind. Did you bring your thinking caps? It's time to put them on, because the conversation starts now.
Welcome back to On the Edge, brains. We are at the spot right here at the place, your address, where the conversation is pointed in your face. The guests are sharp right over there, and the responses are never dull. We have Deborah Dickinson, all the way from Melbourne, Australia. Come on, let's do it, baby.
Thank you, brains. Thank you, April. Yes.
I'm so excited to have you. Let me tell you about this queen. I love her. When I look at her, she's an exotic beauty, and she reminds me of a Disney movie. And I'll tell you more about that as you hear her story. But she is captivating. She grew up in New Zealand, born and raised, lost her mother at an early age, and lived in the jungle among the wildebeest and the fresh fruits and fruit trees. We're going to hear all about that. I'm excited. And now what she's done is taken that wisdom from the earth, you know, because I told you there's something going down in Australia and New Zealand. It's a vortex, and they're catching the 5G quicker than anybody else. And she's working with people to be their life coach and get their mindset, you know. And I was talking to somebody earlier today. Mindset is not just on one particular thing. Your mind has many facets, many compartments. So you need to, you know, your spiritual, your health, your finance, your mental health, all of that. And it works together like a Rubik's Cube. And you need great facilitators like Deborah that can help you work through it. So please tell us a little bit about who you are and how you show up in the world, queen.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much, April. Hello to you all the brains out there. This is so, so exciting to be here.
I'm excited.
Tell me about me. Well, as April said, I was born in New Zealand. And I lost my mum at a young age. But, you know, prior to that, my life was just so, so beautiful. Nature, paddocks and trees, climbing the trees were my playground. I would go with my cousins and we would just get up early in the morning, you know, probably have something to have for breakfast, and then we'd be out the door and just adventure on top of adventure. I remember, actually, this is something I remember. My dad always went pig hunting, and he would come and get me sometimes, and I'd be in bed and he'd wake me up and he'd take me out to where he'd been hunting, because unfortunately, and sometimes this happens, is that the sow gets caught or is not there, but there are little piglets, and I used to go and get the little piglets and bring them home and we'd look after them.
How sweet. That was until they were fat enough to eat.
Yeah. I know for some people that might be controversial, but you know what? This was my life.
You know what? It's the food chain. It's the top of the food chain. And that's just how it goes. So there's no shame in that. It's better than injecting them with steroids and putting their heads in pins and all that. So look at the opposite on that.
Right? Yes, absolutely.
You had natural fruit trees. What kind of fruit?
Yeah.
What kind of fruit?
I remember, you know, just wherever we went, we had grapes,
ooh,
Chinese gooseberry, which is now today known as kiwi fruit, banana passion fruit, plums, so many different varieties of plums, the red rich plums, the yellow plums, peaches, nectarines, apples galore, guavas, like just all year round, picking blackberries and my grandmother used to have massive gardens, and I remember sitting in the garden with her garden with in amongst the sweet peas and just picking the peas and eating those straight out of the garden. And I'd get yelled at because, like, my grandmother would go, "That's for everybody, that's for our dinner tonight." And I was like, "Oh, but it was the best, Nana. You grow the best sweet peas."
Absolutely. You know, eating like that, people don't eat, everything is processed, and they don't understand you are what you eat, brains. I'm a witness. I have been changing what I'm eating, and I'm getting fine about a minute. Y'all gonna see, watch. I want y'all to see this progress. So you're there, you know, and you're among the wildlife, you know, and the Aborigines and the Kiwis are some of the original indigenous people on this planet. You have an extra chromosome, I heard. Really? And, you know, to be able to live that life and then move to the hustle and bustle of downtown Sydney, Australia. Was that a shock or what?
It was a shock, but very quickly it was excitement. It was something new. It was something I'd never experienced before. And where I am today, it's all about experiences. And just like my life was growing, climbing the trees, now it was hustling through the streets of many people. But you know what? Many different people. Sydney, I landed in Sydney, but Australia is very multicultural. So it was different people, it was different things. So it very quickly turned to excitement and just being out there. It was like 24/7. This place was alive.
You feel like the first time I felt when I went to Vegas, it was like, wow, this really happens? That's amazing. That is amazing. How was your education and going to school? How did you adjust and settle? I know you had a beautiful life, you know, growing up, but growing up without your biological mom, you know, and having that kind of life, how did that affect you?
Yeah, look, so losing my mom, which I was to find out many years later, it was something that I really grappled with, but I found the answer many years later. Because very quickly, my father remarried. He found a new wife who became our stepmother. However, she wasn't there for that. So we were very much bottom of the food chain. Mm-hmm. My sister was only 18 months old. So there's 10 years gap between her and I. So she was a baby. So life was, it changed completely. So I talk about the beauty of my life up to 11, and then there was this rapid change. And my story goes a little bit like this. At 15, I ran away from home. At 16, I was pregnant. And at 17, I was married. And at 19, we were separated. And before I turned 21, I had moved my young son then, who was 4 years old, to Australia. So there was a lot going on.
Yeah,
so
much more than 5 year span.
Yeah.
What was your mindset like? How did you edit and pivot? How did you survive?
Oh, it was survive is the word. Surviving on natural instincts. I wasn't thinking, I wasn't pre-planning. It was very reactive. It was like this was the next thing to do. In fact, when I fell pregnant, my mindset was the next step was get married, and that was my life. I'm a stay-at-home mum. That was the mindset. And then as I got older, having said that, from 16 to 18, I realised there was a bit more to life than that. So, but it is definitely just, in me and my story is all about that natural survival instinct. Mm. There was no pre-planning. There was none of that. It was kind of just next step, next step, next step.
Wow. A lot of people can't take the next step. They're stuck. What do you say to that person, Deborah?
Define stuck. Define what meaning are you giving stuck? I didn't know I was stuck. I just thought, well, I'm here. What do I do with it? Or it was just grabbing what was there. But in a way I was stuck because there wasn't a lot happening. There wasn't projection moving forward, but I also didn't give in to the fact that was this a bad life or a good life? I didn't buy into any of that. This was my life. Mm-hmm. So define stuck. What meaning are you giving stuck?
Right.
Because we can.
And what I kind of think is, you know, the people that are immobile and that is unable to move. Sometimes brains, you got to step backwards to leap forward.
Okay? Absolutely.
Sometimes you got to do the cha-cha and go side to side. sometimes you just have to stay and be still. And so you have to figure out where you are. And a lot of situations, you got to go through all three of those examples.
Yes, absolutely.
And know where you are, right? And what the learning is at that point. We're going at warp speed, Deborah. You know, it's you know, we're laughing, but this is ugly. Because I thought I was going to be somewhere else flapping my wings, honey, fluffing them feathers. I had no idea that I was going to be living in the last days here on earth. Well, you know, I had to put my Bible down. I was reading Revelations. I was scared to death. Everything says coming to pass. And every religious doctrine there is on the planet has got one of those chapters. Plagues, disease, hunger, you know, the change in sexuality, political people, the Wailing Wall. All of this is coming to pass. I didn't think I was going to be here. And this COVID is just a gateway. It's just an entry there. There's so much controversy there. You guys have been like stuck in the house under damn near martial law. What is that doing to people's psyche, your clients?
You know what? It is, I've got to say, and again, controversial or not, it's what we're told. I would get so frustrated watching the news and just hearing more and more people are depressed. People that aren't depressed are now depressed. Anxiety levels are growing. Well, for me, you're creating that. So let's talk about how resilient we are. Let's talk about the upside to those things, not telling people where they should be, because the moment you give somebody a label, they will be that label.
They will. They lie to manipulate you and control you on any side of the spectrum. You know, if we trusted the people that gave us the information, we'd all be lined up. If they told us where COVID really came from, we'd all be lined up. You know, if there was an option for our children, we'd all be lined up. So, you know, it's what you're told. And again, do your own research, brains. That's why I call you brains, because you can think.
Absolutely.
So whatever works best for you, if whatever situation, be it your money, your finance, your love, your sex, the car you drive, do your research, okay? Do your research, or you're going to be messed up.
And it's very interesting that you say that, you know, because when we buy material things, we do research on it, right? We're looking for the best options, you know, where we're going to get the most for our money, all that sort of stuff. Excuse me, this temple is more important.
Maybe it's the biggest investment you will ever have. And it is time stamped, brains. It's organic. This is organic. What organic means is that it's going to expire. Yep. Okay, sooner or later. Everybody going to get a turn at the wheel. That's a promise.
Yeah.
But how are you going to process that? Do you live in the moment? I live in the moment. I don't live day by day. I didn't watch somebody do a comedy special, and then 24 hours later, he's dead in his bed. So, and it's not just old people that pass away, brains. Oh, newsflash, young folks, car accident, drug overdose, you know, the suicide is going rampant now. Domestic violence, you know, and it's crazy. It's really crazy. But you are a warrior. Yes, you are on many levels. Okay. I've seen it. Like I told you, Brain, she reminds me of a superhero. She's a Shiro. I could just see her with her bow and arrow. I should have brought my bow and arrow because I do archery as well. But I could just see you out there in the bush with your hair blowing in the wind, showing your big tattoo. Tell us about that tattoo that adorns your chest.
Oh, wow. This I wear with absolute respect and honor. And it is about my parents. So it was actually a cover up, and it goes right around. So I give you a bit of a sneak peek.
Oh, so wow.
It goes right around the back.
Wow. Does it go across your back all the way around like a collar?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so it was a cover-up. I had a very old tattoo here and a very old one here on my back. And it took me a long time to find the right tattooist because I wanted it to represent my parents. And I found a gorgeous man who's also Kiwi. And I told him my story. And he said to me, well, you need to be draped in your parents. Mm. And this is the top part of a korowai, which is a Māori cloak. And it is worn at special events, from celebrations to laying our dead to rest. So it is a representation piece. And when he first started to do the tattoo, I felt the wairua, the spirit of what I was entering. And so I wear it now with pride, and it has bounced me back into getting to know my culture way better. I've been living in Australia for 30 plus years. Mm. And when you don't use it, you lose it.
That's right.
So, it's been part of me now to honour this by me knowing more and more about my culture and to ensure that I honour everything I do with it. So
now, I don't know a lot about Kiwis. You know, I know about the Aborigines, how distinctly different they look from mainstream white Australians. What is indigenous characteristics of the Kiwi? Are there different? I can say different shades. Is it kinky or their eyes? Because the Aborigines are very chiseled. Very chiseled. You can, and they're like Native Americans. You know when you run across.
Yeah. Look, the Native Māori is exactly the same. My great grandfather has very distinct features. You know, the very broad brow, the chiseled cheekbones, and very just naturally muscular. So very much the same. And just, you know, due generation to generation, we've softened. But I will say, like, and I'm sure this is of every nationality, you have a fallback, right? Add from generation to generation, there's always a part of the generation that bounces right back to the beginning, which is absolutely beautiful. Very much the same. And look, it's interesting because I've just started reading a book about the Aboriginals here in Australia, and it's talking about how the perception of one gets in the way of the truth. So starting to bring up exactly more of the real story of the Aborigines before colonialism came along. So it's which is a very similar story to the Kiwis and Māoris of New Zealand, but it's so interesting.
Those Europeans, I tell you, they got a boat and they just went nuts. They went all around the world, from Spain to Australia to the United States, claiming territory. I don't know. But again, to whom much is given, much is required, because they cannot take our spirit.
Absolutely.
They cannot take our DNA. They cannot take our pride. They cannot take our warrior spirit. No one can do that.
No.
You give up your power. And so when you're dealing with your power, you're dealing with your mindset. Tell me about the work that you do with life coaching and mindset for your clients.
Yeah, sure. Look, my clients come to me with all different, as we do, right? We all have different things that are perception-wise making us feel stuck. We can't move forward, or we've been trying or just can't find the answers. And, you know, I sit with my clients and I help them embrace who they are, right? Acknowledge where they're at, because there is such beauty inside everybody. Everybody's story is there. Just like my transformation, my story was, in fact, somebody said to me, I love your story, but you tell it like a victim. Right. So it's changing that into, this is the feminine warrior, right? Bring that feminine in. Sometimes we've got to pull out that warrior to be able to stand in ourself and be proud of what we've got to say. So, I help them embrace who they are. Because once you've embraced who you are, you can then emerge into who you've always wanted to be.
Right. And no one can hurt you anymore.
No way.
When you continue to deny and suppress who you are, it's like, you know, keeping the lid on a tin can.
Yeah.
It's going to explode. It's going to erupt. And then everything that you've worked for, people are going to be looking at you like, that nut. They're not going to give you an opportunity. They're going to judge you. They're going to bully you. They're going to punk you.
Absolutely.
And you may not be the nicest person, smartest person, but you bring value no matter what kind of person you are.
Absolutely. Everybody has value. Every single person on this earth has value, regardless of, yes, we have some people that, you know, that we might go, oh, they don't have. Everybody does, right? Everybody does. We just got to reconnect to it. You know, my story that pushed me into my transformation was I'd been in a 20-year-plus corporate career, and I was questioning, is this it? Because I'd got to where I wanted to go, but it just wasn't what I expected, and I started questioning and then went down the spiral to, oh, my God, where do I start now? I can't do 20 years again. So that all those questions happened, frustration, you know, a glass of wine on a Friday night after a heavy week became a glass of wine every night of the week, turned into a bottle of wine, right? So that frustration, that despair of what's next, that's what propelled me into there's an answer out there. But let me tell you a quick thing. You're looking on the outside, you won't find the right answer. You look here, we can now start.
Absolutely. You got to start somewhere. And you're starting something new as well. You are going to be writing a book.
Yes, I am.
What is going to be in the pages of that book, Deborah?
Oh, it's you know, I can see it's already, it starts with being in the trees. It starts with that little girl who just loves life because life has given her the precious gift of just nature and freedom. And then, yes, we'll go through the turning my transformation into that story of new experiences, realizing that the experience that I had all the way through my life was good, was what was propelling me into being the elevation of myself and being able to part this on to everybody else that needs it. So I'm really looking forward to the story. I feel like I've got to do it in parts.
Right. Well, you know,
more than one.
We talked about this in the green room. I see it as a comic book. I see it as a gamification and applications. I see it as a warrior Shiro story. I see it as a Disney movie, girl. I see it. So just receive it and let it manifest. Yeah. Let it come to fruition. I even burned some sage on it so that we can clear, you know, the energy, because that's what we have to do. We have to clear space. Yeah. It's like going through the bush. You got to have a machete in life. You got to cut through it. You got to climb over it. You got to jump into it. You got to get with it, brains. You don't have a choice. You do not have a choice here. You can't sit there on idle no more. Okay?
Absolutely.
The phone will come get you.
Oh, yeah. Don't stand still.
And what are we teaching our kids? About being courageous, about being kind, about caring for the earth, you know, about loving yourself, you know, your self-respect, respect for others, you know, respect for people that you don't know. You don't judge people that you don't know. You don't know what their struggle is, what their plight is. I'm going to get off my soapbox. Folks just don't be, well, they just don't treat people right, and it bothers me.
No, absolutely, and you know, we could, you and I could sit down and talk about this all night, because there are these things that like I said, we could talk all night.
And you know what? And it's, this will might start a conversation between two people. You know, I have a challenge for you. Brains, when you go out tomorrow, you know, even whatever, even if you're in the car, just wave nicely at the person next to you.
Yes.
Greet the person that's walking with a smile. If there's somebody ahead of you in the coffee shop, pay for their coffee. I want you to extend some kindness. I want you to go back to this grassroots love of community and tribal spirit and, you know, being each other's keeper. You know, Deborah did not have to choose to do this. She had a high-paying, high-brow job that she could probably work in Australia or in New Zealand. But no, she opted to change her career and dedicate to help us get our minds right.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely.
You know?
It's there.
Exactly. Well, let me ask you, what keeps you clear and keeps your mind right? Okay, because this is a lot of responsibility. This ain't just shit and giggles. You have people's lives that you're holding in the palm of your hands. They're looking for your direction. How do you keep yourself clear and focused?
Everything is learning. So when I'm working with my clients, I'm curious. I'm curious with them. So if I go back a step before that, routine, it's about ensuring that what goes in my mind is the right thing. So I'm reading lots of personal development books and, you know, and couple that in with just non-fiction books to just keep my mind always learning, keep my body healthy. So walking, meditation, all of that. So morning routine is really important to me. I do find that when I don't do those and after working with clients, I might feel a little bit drained. Now, when that happens, it's straight back into routine. All it needs is for me to disconnect, allow some space, disconnect, and get back into who I am. So, yes, the white sage, all of that, the crystals. I'm always reaching for protecting myself. Because we are all energy, and what we want to do is ensure that we're inviting in the right energy. And even if it's not, it's guiding that energy into its right place.
Right, right. But you have to be aware of it, brains. You know, don't let it make you go ticky, ticky, boom. It's not a good look. What are three things that Deborah Dickinson cannot live without?
Oh, I cannot live without my family. They are the reason I get up with such enthusiasm. I have grandchildren in Sydney. I have a granddaughter that I haven't even met yet. Thank you.
Oh, you haven't met her yet? Oh, my God. She's got so much to look forward to.
Absolutely. And she's got big, big cheeks that you just want to munch up. So I'm absolutely looking forward to giving my Tiana a very great big hug. So number one, family. Number two is me.
All right.
Don't lose me in all of this, right? We've all gone through the same thing here. We've all gone through COVID. Doesn't matter that I'm a mindset life coach and I have these tools and strategies. I'm human. We're all human. And we can all get caught along the way. So me, always coming back to me, grounding back to me. And having fun. There's got to be excitement.
Yeah, I like those things too. But I like a good glass of cognac and a nice nice piece of chocolate. You know, that could be my man. I'll take that too. you know, just peace of mind. Just to be able to, I went to the park and I sat there with the book in the car, rolled the windows down, watched the birds fly. Just peace and quiet, just serenity.
Actually, now that you say that,